Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
I said, isn't God amazing? I mean, this amazing love story. It's ours, and our story in the love story, our part of the love story, is still being written. One day, the Bible says, Revelation chapter 5, one day, I'll just read it to you, chapter 5. Just started verse 11. This is John on the Isle of Patmos. He was stranded there. He was actually thrown there. Yeah. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels. By the way, everything he had seen before chapter 4 was on the earth. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, and then, let me just read. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. From that time on, he began to talk about what he saw in heaven. And he says in chapter 5, keep playing, guys, that's anointed, we're going back into that. He said, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. In fact, in the teaching of this last story, anytime you hear the word elders, it's a reference to the church. It's a reference to the church. And he says, they encircled the throne, the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the sun and on the sea and all in this them they were singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever, forever and ever, and forever and forever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders, we will fall down and we will worship him. On that great day, we will worship him. And we will be looking at each other saying, can you believe? I mean, I'm serious. Have you ever had great kind of earthly, and the only thing we got is earthly moments here to reference. Have you ever been in one of those moments where you're like, wow, wow. I mean, if you've ever been on a mission trip and seen someone healed, you look at each other and go, wow, wow. And if you've never had, you know, if you're a sports person and you're standing in the NFC championship game with your daughter, and you're standing above Ricky Prohl when he catches the catch that's controversial today, and we go on to the Super Bowl and to win the Super Bowl, and we look at each other, wow, we got to see that moment together. We share that moment. We'll always share that bond, right? That's nothing compared to the wow. When we get there, I know that. But if you've never had wow moments, I so feel for you. Because there are moments where it's all that is within you. In fact, I'm going to tell you, people were passing out. People were so overwhelmed, we never knew what that kind of celebration was. And apparently the Eagles didn't either. Because they burned cars and they torched, you know, a few things. So, but in that wow moment, we will perfectly respond in him, because we will actually be in his presence, and there'll be joy beyond any measurability, and we'll be looking at each other going, Can you believe him? Can you believe who? Look at him. Look at his glory. Look at his majesty. And we will, the Bible says, fall down. Because we won't be able to stand before him. I think that's an amazing moment in what that's so telling. They don't just, well, let you want to get down on your knees, let's just get down on it. No, they will fall down. We will fall before him because of the amazing moment of his presence. That's an amazing. King Jehoshaphat had a kind of a moment like that, where he looked and he saw him sitting on his throne, and his only response was, whoa, get this, whoa, unto me I cried, for my I am a man of unclean lips. All of a sudden, he sees perfection in all of his glory, and he realizes who he is not. He realizes the sin of who he as a human being is. But God quickly transforms that around to the angel of the Lord touching his tongue with the hot coals. And he gets representing the cleaning of his heart, and out of his mouth come begin to become things that are honoring to God. And out, because out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's just this entire revelation of who he is. And then Jehoshaphat says this, here I am, Lord, send me. Because all of a sudden, it's not about me any longer. It's not about my unclean lips anymore. It is about what the Spirit of the living God wants to do through me. So all of a sudden, we realize it's not about me, and it's not about you. This is all about him who sits on the throne. Father, we worship you. This is the air I breathe. Bring us back into this, Pastor Mike. This is the air I breathe. This is the song I sing. It's a song that holy angels cannot sing. Very best. God, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Outside of you, I've got nothing. But inside you, with you transforming me daily, God, I have everything I will ever want, everything I will ever need. Because you see, with you, in you, my wants are transformed to your wants. My desires are transformed to your desires. We no longer then respond to the urgent, the thing that's crying for my attention all the time, that thing that's not eternal. And all of a sudden, we will turn from what appears to be humanly urgent all the time to the eternal. Can you imagine one day when our priority system is so different because God has so transformed our minds, Romans chapter 12, so transformed our minds that all of a sudden the urgent things, the things we have to save for, all of those urgent things, oh, I got to mow the lawn this week, it's getting long, and can you wait for the day of mowing a lawn? First of all, I don't care if I ever have to mow another lawn in my life. But I got to go get gas in the gas can. I forgot. It's those little urgent things. Oh, I'll be late for, you know, church this morning, but I got to get this done. I got to get this done. Oh, you know, God, I want to spend time in your word today, but I got to get there. There's an urgent thing I've got to get done. Because our priority system is so wrapped up with the world's priority system. And all of a sudden, God speaks into us who he is. It's not just a revelation of value systems. All we have to do is get into his presence and our value system is changed. None of you right now have been thinking about the snow or the ice. It went away in his presence. Did you realize that? In his presence, we weren't thinking about that. Because in his presence, there is fullness and a joy beyond all measure. Everything falls away. Because it's not about me anymore. It's really not. And some of you have real hurts this morning. I mean, I'm serious. I know some of you so much. I know the hurt that you walked in here with. And I know this giant wound that you walked in this room with. I know that. It's not a supernatural revelation from the Lord. I know it. Earthly, I know head knowledge of it. But there's also a revelation from the Lord that there are those others that are hurting. Just hurting, wounded. And you're looking for Him to speak those words. And He's speaking them to you even now. And He's speaking different words to everyone. He's speaking into your spirit a different revelation. The Bible says that there's this new song that He speaks into our heart every day. It's a new song. He writes new words. Lord, I praise You. I've sung songs there ain't no word, there ain't no music to. And they're bad. But I'm telling you, God just is honored by them, you know, because it's a song of my heart. And it's Him flowing through me out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And I just make stuff up. I mean, I make stuff up to Gina. She's my lover. She's my wife of 36 years. I'll make that stuff up. And she's like, where do you get those words? Why can't I do that with the lover of my soul? He's the lover of my soul. Guys, we got to get around the male-male thing. Got to get around that a little bit, and we do get around. Have you ever fallen in love with Jesus? I'm serious. Have you ever just fallen in love with Christ? He is amazing. It's beyond male. He's God. He's the Creator, and He's my defender. When the people want to point fingers have you ever had people just didn't like you because they didn't like you? I have. I've actually had. I'm sorry. If anybody in here has a lack of hair, don't be offended by this. I've had more bald men look at me and go, you need a haircut. My wife's been with me. People just choose not to like you for whatever reason. Guy told me at Country Club Car Wash this week, takes his hat off, an old guy. Next time you go to your barber, you call me, I'll give you a haircut. I'm not pointing at you. I'm not you. You got hair. You got a safe example here. No, but he's our defender. He's my main man. Whatever you need him to be, he is the one. He will be that for you today. He is the judge, and yet he is the defender. Isn't that cool? I'm safe. My lawyer's the judge. I like that. My lawyer is the judge. I like that. It's called favor. Wow, I gotta stop. I'm just saying, this is about Him. Have you ever been in a situation where you looked and you knew the worst was coming and the best came and you're like, wow, where'd that come from? I didn't see that coming. Because your lawyer's the judge. I like that. Father, we just say yes, Lord. Pastor Mike, you had to say it a while ago. We say yes, Lord, to Your will and to Your pleasure. God, You are here in our presence today. Wherever two or more are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst of them. You've made that promise. This is a declaration. It doesn't matter if there's 400. It doesn't matter if there's 20. Seriously. Because God, You are here with us today. And You came before us to make our path straight. Father, we say yes, Lord, to Your will and to Your pleasure today. In the name of Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And I want to talk to you about, we just experienced a great time of celebration, of worshiping God, of praising God, of coming together as a family and experiencing just a bit of the portion of the presence of God. But can I tell you, calling, and I just want to throw this out there because I want to do some comparisons real quick today. What you just experienced was not the fullness of worship. Seriously, I got two that shook their head and one, okay. What you just experienced is not the fullness of worship. Not according to God's word. And I go with God's word. I go with what does the Bible say? And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, now most agree that Paul is writing the book of Romans, and so most theologians agree with that. And so Paul, since he did say it, yes, I, Paul, a servant. So most agree that he did, just the same. It's the same similar style as the book of Hebrews. Okay, so it's that similar writing. And so since Paul is writing, he is writing to the church at Rome. And so in the first 11 chapters, now he didn't write, how many know that when Paul was writing this, he didn't write it in chapter form and verse form? He was writing a letter to the church at Rome. So that's, so he's writing this long letter. Paul got long-winded. I mean, when you're sitting in jail, you hear the words from the Holy Spirit to write, and you just keep writing what the Holy Spirit gives you. And there are just times that when he was writing these epistles, it wasn't like he was going anywhere else. And that's just the reality of the moment. He's very sensitive with what the Holy Spirit is speaking to him, and he is writing this particular first 11 chapters about the mercies of God. That's what I want you to get. Here's the kind of the picture of the story, the narrative about this. He's writing about the mercies of God for 11 chapters. And there's a transition word, one transition word translated into English. One transition word when he starts verse 12. What is it? Therefore. What he's saying is, therefore, and I'll just read it to you, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, in other words, everything I've written to you for the last 11 chapters, everything, what he's really saying is, everything that I've written to you prior to this, therefore, based on that mercy that I've written to you about, he says, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. At St. Charles River Church, we teach this. Anything that you do that pleases God is an act of worship. We come into the Father's house, this house of prayer. What did Jesus say? Jesus did not say, let me take you back to Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the temple was the temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's where God's presence abided, was in the temple. And so in the Old Testament, they would go there because the presence of God was represented there through the ark, remember the story. And if the priests were going to go behind the veil, they would tie holy cords around them, because if they were not prepared ritually well to go into the presence of God, they would die. They'd have to drag them out. Okay, that was the presence. That's how serious the presence of God was. How many remember what happened to those who touched the ark after God said, don't touch the ark? Okay, they died, right. So there was this whole seriousness of, in the Old Testament, the temple was where the presence of God abided. It was Bethel. But upon the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, what's the Bible say? That the veil in the temple was ripped in two. Do you remember that? And from that day on, you and I became the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are Bethel. You and I are Bethel. We are the temple of God. We are, the Bible says, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, from that day forward, did not abide within a building. The Holy Spirit abides within you and me. And what God is saying, or what Paul is writing from the Holy Spirit to the church at Rome, when he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, this is your spiritual, and there's one version that actually says, this is the only common sense response to God's mercy, is that you, here's what he's saying, a living sacrifice. In other words, you gotta die. To yourself, to your will, self-will, you die to the self-will, and you turn your entire life over to His will, the Spirit of the living God. And so he said, he writes to them, this is true worship. Now this is true worship. This is truly the presence of God. In other writings, we know that in God's word, it says this is true religion. Well, there's another word that this is true worship, to take care of the widows and the orphans. That's acts of worship. The Hickmans couldn't be here today, but can I tell you something? When you, every time you walk into a nursing home, and do you know who's in nursing homes? Sherry lives around, this is her life, her passion, and her compassion. She works at, I know the name of it, Mount Carmel, up in St. Charles. And I'm telling you, there are people in there that families never come. that families in some of these settings never come. They are set aside. It's not that their families have literally forgotten them, but their families have rejected their very presence of them. And so they never come and see them because it's hard to go see them. But God's word teaches, listen to this, pure religion, if you want to use King James version, but the act of worship is really what's going on, is taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. That's an act of worship before God. Let me give you a real good picture of what it looks like to worship God. Now, we often talk and refer to the music side of things up here. And it is. That's a time of worship where we praise God. We come together. But that's about 0.25% of our lives. We might have been in here 45 minutes with, you know, just enjoying the presence of God together, lifting up holy hands and enjoying God's presence. But do you know you've got another 365 days this year, or 364 days this year? I know we're into February. I'm talking about over the next year. You have 365 days in a year. And we got 45 minutes of us coming in here and we call that worship? No, that's hardly. That doesn't even touch it. It's like, you know, this, we get so consumed with the music side because it's moving. How many of you, I'm going to admit, I'm moved by music. I am moved by music. But that's just who I am. Others are moved just by who He is. You know, they don't even have to have music attached to it. I have learned to do that. But I have also learned that the DNA of who I am, music moves me. But that doesn't mean, can I tell you something? That doesn't mean that that's all worship. No, I'm done worshiping now. Oh no, you're just starting for the day. Listen to this, Isaiah 61. It's a beautiful picture. Rex and I were talking this morning and he birthed this thought in me. Isaiah 61, it's a beautiful picture of honest worship before God. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." Say that. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." That's true. He is upon you. He is upon me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Why? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Stop. I'm going to stop right there. That doesn't mean the pastor. Can I just knock everybody off of that? No. He's anointed you to bring good news. You're anointed. He's appointed you and me to go bring. Do you know every time you go into a nursing home, the Hickmans have done it for 20 years plus. Every Sunday morning, they go to a nursing home and they pray for people and they love on these people. These people don't have anybody but the Hickmans coming every Sunday morning to touch them. Pastor Harvey did that for years when Gene was in the nursing home. I went into his services. He'd go in there and he'd pray for people in Jesus' name. That's an act of worship. Anytime you preach hope or you bring hope to the poor, God's word is teaching us that's an act of worship. It presenting our bodies a living sacrifice is holy and pleasing to Him. This is our only reasonable response to His mercy that I've been writing to you about for 11 chapters. Listen to this. "To preach good news to the poor, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." There are people whose hearts are broken. And every time you go, if it's a woman whose husband has left her, or if it's a man on the flip side of that whose wife has left him and the children, I've actually run into that more and more these days. It's something I can't even imagine. Leaving the children, throwing the children aside. Now, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying it was just unimaginable for me. But anytime you go and you put your arms around ladies, another lady that is brokenhearted. Guys, Pastor Mike, when you men come together, Pastor Carl, when you guys come together as men and you guys are loving on each other and you realize these guys are broken, their hearts are broken. And you gather around them, and I've seen the tears, men weeping with other men in this church, praying for them. That's what men's ministry is about. Do you know, for the first 15 years of this church, I wouldn't allow it to be called men's ministry. Because it was men's breakfast, is what it was called. till we all start ministering to each other, we ain't going to call it men's ministry. We're not going to lie about it. If it doesn't really happen, if we just eat pancakes, I love the fellowship side, by the way. You're pastor of fellowship, Pastor Carl. I love the fellowship side. It's as biblical. Check it out. Acts chapter 2, verses 2, 42 through 47. Fellowship is one-fifth of the reason or the purpose of the church, right there in those short verses. They all gathered together regularly. Why? Because we did life together. It's not about, hey, we just played a game tonight. Well, I'm not into games. No, we've missed the point. It's an act of worship to partner with guys that are hurting or you being there. You know, well, I don't really like, guy things. No, we so missed the point. It's not about, did you like the games that we did? Or do you like the study that... It's coming and being with other guys and partnering with them. Do you know that everybody, we need each other, men. Do you know that? We need each other. Ladies, y'all need each other. Husbands and wives, you need each other. Don't you ever go away on your own? I love it when a pastor calls me up and says, I'm taking my wife away. Or I'm taking my husband away. We're going. We're just going away. We need some time together. That's an act of worship. Did you know that? That's an act of worship. Gina stuck me on a cruise ship. I say that way. When I left that cruise ship the last time before this last cruise, I turned around to her and thank you, Dan and Debbie. You taught us how to cruise. I looked at Gina and I said, get me back on that cruise ship as fast as you can. Gina said, I want you all to myself for 7 straight days. Your phone doesn't work. Your Wi-Fi doesn't work. Though I paid $10.91 every day for Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi doesn't work. Because that's an act of worship. Honoring our marriage. Spending time together. 36 years. Let's do this. Let's keep this fire going for another 36. Why not? We got nothing better to do. It's an act of worship to enhance your marriage. It says, he has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives. There are people who are so captive in addictions and things they just can't fight their way out of. And that's where we come in. Guys, we don't judge those people. Ladies, we don't judge those people. They're held captive in this bondage thing. And did you ever notice that when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Now, I'm going to do something here. If I fall down, don't. Here comes Lazarus. What did he say? Lazarus, King James, come forth. Here he goes. I mean, it looks like a kid's cartoon. He came hopping out because he was bound in grave clothes. Right. He's in grave clothes. Now, here's the common sense. He's alive right now, but if we don't get that stuff off of his nose and his mouth, he's going to suffocate. He's going to re-dead. He's going to re-dead. What does Jesus say to everyone? Loose him and let him go. Do you get the picture? He gave the life. I know it's not pretty. Me jumping. But here's the, get the picture. He gives life to the brokenhearted, to the captive, to those that are in captivity. He gives life. But who does he tell to loose him and let him go? You and me. Loose him. It's those of you that are around Lazarus that were crying like crazy and mourning over his death. And now you're going, don't just stand there and look at him. Man's going to die if you don't loose him. He's not going to be able to breathe. And they did. They cut him loose. And they went away in a celebration. Can I tell you something? That's the picture I'd love to give you. Every time we do an act of ministry, anything we do that honors God, according to Paul in Romans chapter 12, is a life of sacrifice and a life of worship. It's actually your only reasonable response to the mercies of God. Amen. Bottom line, authentic worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Why? Because the pattern is death. The pattern that Christ came to give is life, and life abundantly, life to the fullness. Now, that's the pattern that we are to conform to and that we're to give to others as an act of worship. What did he say? Go into all the nations and preach the gospel. It's an act of worship. Do you know that giving hope is an act of worship? It's the anointing. For the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to release from darkness the prisoners. Those are acts of worship. Anytime you bring hope into someone else's life, when it was hopeless, bow your heads, when it was hopeless, anytime you express love and support, you are worshiping the Holy God. And then we come in here on Sunday morning and we worship and praise Him for what He has done through us and in us. And who He is, in Jesus' name. Father, I simply would ask You that You would speak into us a revelation, not just of how to worship You in spirit and in truth, but a revelation of who You are. Because in that revelation comes the revelation of worshiping who You are in spirit and in truth. We want to truly, God, worship You in truth. And that truth is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day that You give us life on this earth and breath. God, that truth is we have the privilege of worshiping You by loving people the way You do, in Jesus' name. And every believer said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a huge hand, will you?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.